Okay, now back to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to begin by reading verse 15. How shall they preach? How shall they preach? Now, what is the message of preaching? The message is Christ and Him crucified. How shall they preach except they be sent? All those who are called and sent of God preach the same gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And then that scripture reference that I gave that is given there in the marginal reference, Isaiah 52:7. Remember, the message of all those preachers was, the Lord thy God reigneth. Now, the Lord our God has wisely ordained the teaching and the preaching of the gospel of Christ to the great benefit and blessing to His church. That is, to His elect, to His covenant chosen people. That is why we make much of the preaching of the gospel. That is why we make much of the teaching of the word, book by book, verse by verse, and word by word. The Lord has promised to bless His word to His people. He said, my word will go where I send it, and it will not return to me void, and it will prosper wherever I send my word. Isaiah 55:11. The Lord has commanded His church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Go into all the world, Mark 16, and preach the gospel of God concerning Christ to every creature. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we often hear it referred to by others as a simple invitation. You heard that before? The gospel of Christ is not a simple invitation unto men to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You cannot find that word invitation in the Bible, nor can you find that phrase, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. The command of the gospel, the command of the King, who is God of all the earth, the command of the King is not simply to invite men to accept Jesus as their Savior. The command of the gospel is to repent and believe the gospel of Christ and bow and submit unto Him who is the Lord, our righteousness. Now, let's take a look at verse 16. But, he says, but God sent forth gospel preachers into all the world to preach the gospel of peace, to preach the gospel of the good news of the grace of God, mercy to sinners through Christ. But, verse 16, you see that, Romans 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. That is, they have not all believed the gospel. And then he quotes here Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, who hath believed our preaching, or who hath believed our report? Isaiah has recorded men left to their own wicked heart will not believe or obey the gospel of God. Not left to yourself, you won't. They will not bow and submit unto the righteousness of God revealed in Christ. The report of the gospel is true, is it not? It is a true record. It is a true gospel. But because of our willful rebellion against God, sinners will not believe the gospel left to themselves. Because, as we studied in Romans 8, verse 7, where it says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The carnal mind will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The report of the gospel is true. No doubt about that. It is the Word of God. The Word of God declares the gospel of God. But because of our willful rebellion and sin, we will not believe the gospel left to ourselves. It has to be a work of God. Who hath believed this gospel? Those who were called and blessed by the power of God to hear it, to be born again by the Spirit of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. 1 John 5, 1. Now it's interesting reference here if you want to turn to John chapter 12, because this same portion of Scripture is given here in John chapter 12. You look at John chapter 12, verse 35. John 12, 35. Yet a little while is the light with you. Now we know that the Lord is that light. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not. Verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm or power of the Lord revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, this is from Isaiah 6, verse 10, and this is quoted many times in the New Testament. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things, said Isaiah, when he saw his glory, he spake of him. Believing the gospel is a miracle, because faith is the gift of God. Now, look at verse 17. So then, and here seems to be the conclusion statement from summing it up from what he says from verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I quote this verse all the time because it's so, so essential. Now, what do we know about faith? Faith is a precious gift of God, obtained by the righteousness of Christ. Faith is the precious gift of God, and the Lord our God gives that precious gift to whom he will. Faith is that gift of God. Faith comes by hearing the true report of the gospel of God. Now, did you get that? Faith comes by hearing the true report of the gospel of God concerning Christ. True faith does not come by listening to the lies of false preachers. Faith comes by hearing true preaching. True faith is born of right knowledge. One preacher said, God speaks to the heart through the ear. That's a good statement. God speaks to the heart, to understanding through the ear. You cannot have true faith while sitting under and listening to a false gospel. You will never learn the truth by listening to lies. It is the truth, our Lord says, that will set you free. Faith is the gift of God that comes to his elect through the means that God has ordained. As many as were ordained to eternal life believe the gospel. It has pleased God by the preaching of the gospel to call out his people. So then, faith depends on hearing, and hearing depends on the word of God from the Christ of God. It is essential to hear the word, and I'm using that with a capital W. Christ is the word. Faith depends on hearing, and hearing depends on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the Word of God. It is essential if you're going to have this precious gift of faith, of which the Lord said, without faith, no man can please God. It's essential then to hear the Word of God and to hear Christ in the Word. Now that's key, to hear Christ. We sing that song oftentimes, and one line of that song goes, "In thy book revealed, I see the Lord Jesus Christ." The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4, then in James chapter 1, we read, "Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth." We're born again with the incorruptible Word of God that lives and abides forever, 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, faith is the precious gift of God, but many have not believed the true report of God. Now look at verse 18, Romans 10, verse 18. But, here's another but. "But I say, have they not heard?" I believe this refers to those who had the prophets and the writings of Moses, the Jewish people of old, Israel of old. Have they not heard? Oh yes, they had the law and the prophets. "But I say, have they not heard?" Yes, yes, they heard. "Their sound," that is the sound of the gospel of God, "went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." Have they, the Jewish nation of Israel, have they not heard the gospel? Oh yes, they had the gospel, were blessed with it. So many preachers sent to them. Yes, they had the Word of God. Remember our Lord said to those people in John chapter 5, "You are they which search the Scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." They had the law of Moses and the prophets. You remember Peter said in his testimony in Acts chapter 10, "To him give all the prophets witness." Every prophet of God tells us about the gospel of Christ. The law of Moses spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in John verse 46, the Lord said, "Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote of me." So they had the law and the prophets. They had the tabernacle. They had the temple. They had all these blessings sent of God. They had the law of Moses. They heard the preaching of John the Baptist. You remember his message when he came preaching? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Christ is that Lamb." They even heard the gospel ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ himself for 3 years and some months. And they said, many of them, "Never man spake like that man." And then others said, "His word was with power and with authority." And they heard not only the law and the prophets, Moses, the preaching of John, the last Old Testament prophet. They heard the ministry and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard the apostles preach the gospel. They heard Paul. They heard Peter. They heard John. We had on the radio this morning where Paul said, "For I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified." The sound of the gospel was preached throughout their world in their day and even beyond them to the Gentile world. They had the privilege of gospel preachers being sent them. God even raised up one special preacher for that purpose, to preach the gospel unto the Gentiles, as it says there in verse 13 of Romans 11. Paul called himself an apostle to the Gentiles. Look at verse 13. "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, and I magnify my office." God sent them preacher after preacher, prophet after prophet, much preaching. And then Paul called himself this in Ephesians chapter 3, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. Now look at verse 19. Here's another but. But I say, did not Israel know? Did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, talking about the Gentile nations, his elect among the Gentiles, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. The Lord our God, through Moses, gave this prophecy, and it's all the way back from the writing in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 21. And let me just read that verse to you. It says, they have moved me to jealousy. God said, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. That is, their many, many idols they had. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. And I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation, and is referring to the Gentile nation. Now remember back, turn back over there to chapter 9 and look at verse 30 again. What shall we say then? Chapter 9, verse 30. That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They stumbled over the rock that God has established, the foundation that God has established, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The Lord our God was pleased to choose an ignorant and sinful and foolish people and call them unto salvation to provoke those Jewish people. Don't turn. Let me just read this to you. I've often think of this verse here when I think of the Lord calling the ignorant and the foolish. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, for we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, Christ the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. Why do you do all that? That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now look back at the text, Romans 10, verse 20. And now we quote from Isaiah 65, 1. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. And again, he's referring to God calling out the Gentile people, his elect among the Gentiles. Isaiah speaks even more boldly concerning the calling of the Gentiles and the casting off of the Jews. Now, we're going to see much more of that in chapter 11. It deals a whole lot with that. Look at Romans 11, verse 25. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The advantage and advancement of the Gentiles was altogether of God's free grace, and the effect of God's free grace, free election of grace, and the sovereign will of God. I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Now, I was found of them that sought me not. John Gill had this on that verse. The preaching of the gospel among the Gentiles, it came among them unasked for, unexpected by them, undesired by them, as well as undeserved by them, nor any blessing of his, as yet such was his grace and goodness that he was found of these persons in the preaching of the gospel. I was found of them that sought me not. All in the purpose of God according to election, that it might stand. Now, in closing, look at verse 21. But to Israel he saith, all day long, down through hundreds and hundreds of years, Israel had the blessings of the gospel. Turn back to Romans chapter 3. You remember that in Romans chapter 3? Verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. They had the word of God. They had the prophets of God. They had the priesthood. They had the tabernacle in the wilderness. They had the temple of God. They had all these special blessings given to them. They had many advantages and privileges over all other people. They had the word. They had the prophets. They had the priests. They had those sacrifices typical of Christ, the blood offerings, the Day of Atonement, the Passover feast. But when you look at their history, and we've been looking at their history in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, Ezra, Nehemiah, when you look at their history, it's one of constant rebellion and unbelief against God. But to Israel he saith, all day long, I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. When you look at their history, for the most part, it's one of rebellion and unbelief. And when the Messiah was sent among them, what'd they do to him? Away with him. We have no king but Caesar. Away with the Lord Jesus Christ and crucify him. Peter leveled this charge against them on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, you with wicked hand, as crucified the Lord of glory. The Lord stretching out his hand all the day long unto them. God is long-suffering and merciful. The designs of the ministry of the prophets, Lord sent them one after another, the preaching of John and of Christ and of the apostles among them, but they were a stiff-necked, rebellious people, uncircumcised in heart, ears that would have none of his counsel, despised his reproof, contradicted and blasphemed his word, rejected the Messiah and his gospel, and killed the Prince of Life, and persecuted his apostles, even unto death. All day long have I stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, hold your place there, and let's turn back to the book of Luke. We had this in the book of Luke, chapter 14. And our Lord says this same thing. Luke 14, verse 34. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Excuse me, this is Luke 13:34. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stone them that are sent unto you. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, but you would not. The Lord said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Verse 35, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, yes, your house is left unto you desolate. I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time cometh when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Okay, well, that concludes Romans chapter 10. And next week, Lord willing, we'll look at Romans chapter 11. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. Okay, take a short break.